Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Ambassador Patrick Kennedy, Undersecretary of State for Management at the U.S. Department of State. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Bonnie Glick. Pat, I'd like to transition now to the future. We talked about transformational diplomacy, but could you give us a sense of some global trends and changes that will impact the domestic and international deployment of State Department employees? And what perspective do you have regarding meeting these changes head on?
Well, I think that the major focus of transformational diplomacy has to get our personnel out and operating in different ways, reaching out to new audiences, to the private sector, to non-governmental organizations in ways that we have not done in other parts of the world other than Western Europe and Latin America. But with less than 12,000, only about 11,500 Foreign Service personnel overseas and 267 posts, that's a tall order. That is a big stretch. And so this means that we are going to have to make sure that we continue to recruit the best people who are representative of America, and we're going to have to get them the language skills that they need. The president's budget request that just went up to the Congress recently includes a request that was strongly championed by the secretary for 300 additional training positions so that the State Department can put more people into Chinese and Arabic and Farsi and Hindi and other languages so that our personnel can become more productive and more able to get more done in any given day because they now have the language skills. And the last thing I think we have to concentrate on is more interagency cooperation. It's clear that when something happens overseas, it usually has multiple dimensions. It has a political military dimension. It has an economic dimension. It has a social dimension. It has a developmental dimension. So the State Department, which has always been the leader of the country team, all the agencies assembled at an embassy, has to do that even more so. And especially partner with our colleagues in the U.S. military. They have resources and they have training, and we have resources and we have competences, and we need to make sure that we lash state and defense together in such a way that we can take advantages of each other's skills, and the resulting lash up is, as they say, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
A recent Center for Strategic and International Studies commission on what they called the Embassy of the Future argues that buildings themselves will play less of a role in furthering America's diplomatic goals in the future, while outreach and access will grow increasingly important. This goes directly to what you were just discussing. And if true, it calls for a serious rethinking of how and what to build. In your perspective, what will embassies of the future look like, and what role will technology play in building the embassy of the future? Are you looking at virtual technologies, for example, like Second Life, perhaps, in this effort?
Clearly, we need to have more robust mobile communication skills. When an officer is out away from the capital city and out in one of the provinces or visiting a district capital, he or she needs to be able to both communicate back to the embassy and also file their reports in ways so that the information they gathered has the most timely deliverance. Also, we need to make sure that we're using wikis and blogs. I mean, the State Department Bureau of Intelligence Research is one of the leaders in that regard. Those are just marvelous tools that allow people to work collaboratively, sometimes in the same facility, but sometimes in neighboring countries, collaborating on a regional perspective or collaboration between Washington and a post in the field. And we certainly need to think about expansion of something the State Department calls virtual presence posts, where in a university community outside the capital city, you set up a room with some internet computer terminals that allow people to communicate and research with and about the United States government. At the same time, I think that as much as I respected the CSIS study, I think they've overstated their view on buildings. The buildings the State Department has have always been platforms. There has to be some place for them to go back to at night, some place for them to keep their files. So I think we are going to absolutely see greater use of information technology, both in terms of mobile and in terms of wikis and blogs. But I think that we're going to see embassy buildings continue to be an important activity because it has to be the base, it has to be the platform, as well as the fact that certain activities, such as the important consular work we do, whether it's visa screening or the issuance of passports or help to American citizens in distress, need a solid base, literally and physically, from which to operate.
There's been much discussion about the pending government employee retirement wave. How are you handling this, what some are calling a crisis, and what steps are being taken to attract and maintain a high-quality technical and professional workforce?
We see this crisis coming, as does every other government agency. And the State Department obviously has a twofold interest here. We have both the Foreign Service of the State Department and the Civil Service, and neither of those segments can be ignored. To do so would be doing it at your own peril. We value our civil service colleagues and the work they perform as much as we value our Foreign Service colleagues. And so, therefore, we're investing significant resources in both the Presidential Management Fellow Program, the PMF program that's run by OPM, but we're a big taker of those marvelous young men and women. And we also have our own program called the Career Entry Program, which is not the same as, but somewhat akin to the PMF program, to make sure that we're building a new cadre of individuals who are prepared, who are experienced in the department, and therefore prepared to move up in the system. On the Foreign Service side, we continue to be lucky in getting large number of applicants for the few hundred Foreign Service positions that we can hire for each year. But again, we're not resting on our laurels. In the past, the Foreign Service exam was offered once a year. Now we're offering the exam three or four times a year, and we're offering it online at various centers that we have contracted with. And so we know we need the best and the brightest. So we're reaching out both with new programs, more efficient and effective, and we hope more fruitful ways of giving the exam in the case of the Foreign Service.
So following up, how do you ensure that your employees and future employees have the appropriate training and skills to meet some of the future challenges that we talked about? And how does the National Foreign Affairs Training Center factor into these efforts?
I think that the National Foreign Affairs Training Center is the jewel of the State Department. Secretary Shultz spent hours and put his personal efforts on the line to acquire for the State Department the former DOD property in Arlington, and we put additional resources into it. We are now literally in the process of building another wing on the National Foreign Affairs Training Center to give us the additional classroom capacity, and that's our commitment. In addition, we talked earlier about working with the military. We also need to do more training with our military colleagues, but the reverse is kind of true. When a State Department person goes to the Army War College, for example, not only does he or she learn how the military does it, but when they participate in classroom exercises, when they participate in discussions, they're in effect teaching their military colleagues the perspective of the State Department, and that synergy is incredibly important. So we want to do more training with the military. And lastly, the Foreign Service Institute has put into place hundreds of long-distance learning courses that are posted on the State Department website. 13 languages are on the website, as well as numerous professional development courses for both American personnel and our many foreign national colleagues working at our embassies overseas who can benefit from this training in consular work or administrative work.
Pat, you've had a very successful 35 years in government. What advice would you give to a person who's perhaps considering a career in public service or perhaps in the Foreign Service?
Well, the first thing I would tell him is to apply to the State Department first. Do not apply to any other government agency. We want you. The State Department is an incredibly challenging activity. If you want a job that will change every day, whether you're in Washington or whether you're overseas, the opportunities the state has across the board, everything from information technology to medical to logistics to refugees to consular work to legal. I think we have jobs there that will challenge everyone. I think also that one has to realize that the government is a hierarchical organization, and you are probably going to start at the bottom. But every day will be a challenge. Every day will be an education. Every day you will have prepared yourself another 8 hours or 10 hours or 12 hours to do what the American people need. I encourage people to apply to state because I think that we have the careers and we have the opportunities.
That's wonderful advice. Thank you. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule, but more importantly, Bonnie and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country across the various roles that you've held within the Department of State.
Thank you very much, Albert and Bonnie. It's been a pleasure being with you here today. The State Department is America's front line. We try desperately to do our job. We are not a perfect organization. I encourage your listeners or their friends who have any questions about the State Department or any of the services we provide. Our website, www.state.gov, is robust. I encourage your listeners to go there, and we're here to serve you, and I believe that you'll be able to find the answers and support you need. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Ambassador Patrick Kennedy, Undersecretary of State for Management at the U.S. Department of State. My co-host has been Bonnie Glick, Project Executive within IBM. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who may not be able to hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.